When we reach the city of the New Jerusalem, we'll sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by. How the ransom singer will to give, lift that hymn, we'll sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by.
Gracious Father in heaven, we come this morning to say thank you. You are a mighty good God, and we thank you. We thank you, O God, that you woke us up this morning with our minds stayed on Jesus. And in your goodness and in your grace, you guided and guarded us out to this place. And, O God, we've come with the express purpose to worship and adore your holy name. We thank you for Jesus, who makes burdens bearable. We thank you for Jesus, who makes mountains climbable. We thank you for Jesus, who makes all things possible. Thank you, O God, for the gospel of redeeming grace. And thank you for its power to save and to strengthen and to sustain. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here and bless. Do what you do. Speak to this gathered assembly. Speak, Lord. Speak over us like you did over nothing and nothing became something. Speak, Lord. Challenge us and change us into who you will have us to be. Just get yourself some glory and do us some good. Our prayer always is for you to have your own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will while we're waiting, yielded and still. Amen. In the mighty name of Christ, our conquering King, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless my Father's children. We greet you this morning with Jesus' joy and bring you greetings from the Boulevard family in the Bluff City of Memphis. I am awfully grateful to have been asked to come to share with you from God's blessed old book, the Bible, through the course of this week, be it the Lord's providence. I am a real fan of your preacher, Brother Jones. Can't be bad, can't be a bad dude with a name like Jones. Maybe y'all don't know, but that was a good time to put an amen. Amen?
Amen.
We appreciate him for his work's sake. I have already enjoyed meeting the elders, and we had a great time last night out at dinner. One of the deacons as well just had a great time. And I am looking forward to spending these moments with you. I was much encouraged with the invitation, and I know what a hint is. I got up here, and there's a big old clock there, and there's a big old clock here. I think y'all trying to tell me something. Amen, somebody. The guy who was notorious for preaching a long time preached one Sunday with a big old bandage on his face, and it was distracting. And so after worship, they asked him about it. Somebody asked him, what's this bandage? And he said, well, this morning I was shaving, and I was thinking about my sermon, and I cut my face. Some sister said, next time, think about your face and cut your sermon. I think that's a hint. I'll do the best I can. First Peter, we'll try to develop this sermonic theme this week. Biblical solutions to critical questions. We'll ask and answer one such question this morning from the text read into our hearing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. I'm delighted to have family here. My cousin, Selma, and her husband, Daryl, are here from the Franklin area. We really, really appreciate y'all being here on this morning. Selma, thank you for dragging him out here with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say I'm still looking. And if you don't have your Bible, say, just go ahead. I can't get with you. Just go. Verse number 6, as translated by the New King James translation, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? Purpose clause, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This morning's question is, how do you live between the now and the not yet? How do you live between the now and the not yet? One of the great certainties of our Christian undertaking is that God has a great about to be for the people of God. God is moving us in a certain direction. A destiny bright and blessed. God has promised us a place where the wicked will cease from troubling.
Yes, sir.
And the weary will be at rest. Our haters will be halted. Aren't you happy about that?
Amen.
And our troubles will be through forever. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there is to come a day when we will drop this robe of flesh, we will rise to seize an everlasting prize. There is to come a day when God adjourns time and convenes eternity. There is to come a day when time is given a permanent pink slip and eternity is hired to the position. There is to come a day when history itself
will be history.
Yes, sir.
And God will right every wrong, solve every problem, heal every hurt, lift every load. There is to come a day when God will make it all right with our souls.
Yes,
yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, yes. There is coming a day when God's going to fix it for us. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but that's good news to me.
Yes,
that's mighty good news.
Amen.
But the question is, I know that day is coming. And I look forward to great anticipation to that day. But the challenge is, how do I live between the now and the not yet?
Yes, sir.
How do we live with present burdens as we await promised blessings? How do we live? How do we live between the now of present heartbreak and the not yet a promised hallelujah? How do we live between the now and the not yet? Peter answers us by telling us hope. Hope. Hope is the way you live between the now and the not yet. Peter, that much faltering but much forgiven disciple of the Lord, with insightful and instructive and inspiring words, gives us one thing this world desperately needs. He shares with us a word of hope in a world of hurt.
Amen.
As you study this book, I hope you will sometimes, and as you study it, you'll discover Peter again and again teaching us how to live with a militant attitude towards sin, with a fervent attitude towards saints, with a diligent attitude towards service, an expectant attitude toward the Savior. We're able to do all these things because we have hope. As we unpack the passage to uncover the principles, there are two truths threaded into the tapestry of the text. They form the substance of the sermon, and they offer us the homiletical hinges on which this message swings.
Amen.
I want you to notice the way we live between the now and the not yet is with a commitment in spite of our hurt. And secondly, we live with a confidence in light of our hope.
Amen.
Look at it with me. Peter tells us we live with a commitment in spite of our hurt. In this you greatly rejoice, he pens. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I do not believe that there will be any dissenting voices raised or disagreeing statements shared when I suggest to you this morning that we are living in a world of hurt.
Amen.
Help me, Lord.
Amen.
This world in which we live is a world of hurt. Heartache and heartbreak and hurt are all around us. Consistent characteristic of this age is hurt. Pain and problems seem to be working overtime, while joy and peace seem to be on vacation. Help me, Lord Jesus. Happiness seems to have been evicted, while hurt takes up permanent residence. I declare this is a world of hurt. I think I ought to tell you, just because you try to do right don't mean somebody won't try to do you wrong.
Right.
Do I have any help in here? Just because you trying to be sanctified don't mean you won't be victimized. The record is, man born of a woman is but of a few days. and full of trouble. Look like I ought to tell somebody, trouble is a ubiquitous census taker. Trials are equal opportunity employers. We've all been called to a stewardship of suffering, to an apprenticeship with adversity, to a partnership with pain and with problems. Doesn't matter who you are. Before you leave here, you're going through something. Am I right or am I right? Those are your only two options. Am I right or am I right? Question is, how are we to respond as we move toward that tremendous destiny that awaits us? How do we live? Peter says, we rejoice. Did you read it? Peter says, we greatly rejoice.
Yes,
now, this is a uniquely Christian response to hurt and hardship. Peter says, we rejoice. I'm trying to suggest to you this morning that the joy of the Christian experience is not dependent on the fickle and fluctuating movement of circumstance.
Right.
Ours is a joy, not because of, but often in spite of.
Amen.
I declare it is the commitment of the child of God who has the power to say when the storms of life are raging and their souls are buffeted by the strong headwinds of heartbreak and hardship and bereavement and burdens, they're able to say because of their commitment, after all the things I've been through,
yes,
I still have joy. Joy, because God is for me. Joy, because Christ is with me. Joy, because the Holy Spirit is in me. Joy, because we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Joy, because greater is He who is within us than he who is within the world. Joy, because He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Joy, because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. Word declares we have a joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. I tell your kin people, y'all don't have this problem because y'all going to heaven, but I know your kin people in Memphis. I tell your kin people in Memphis, they come to church looking like they've been chewing on onions and sipping vinegar juice. You know what I'm saying? I tell you ain't going to get happy and you ain't going to be happy, sit in the back someplace. I ain't bothering y'all back there. I'm just saying. Look, if you got the joy of the Lord, you ought to notify your face. Do I have any help in here?
Yes, sir.
The word declares that the trials we face are many and varied. In fact, in the text, Peter uses a word that's translated manifold, Old King James.
Yes,
it's the Greek word poikilos. It is the Greek word that gives us our English word polka dot. And it is a word that means multicolored or variegated.
Yes,
in other words, our troubles and our trials come to us in many different sizes and shapes. There are burdens that blast us. There are hardships that hurt us. There are problems that pound us and grief that grips us. There are sickness that strikes us. Your trouble may not be my trouble, but you got your trouble, baby. I got mine too. How are we to respond to these trials? How are we to respond to these troubles as the children of God? Peter says rejoice. James does so as well.
Yes, sir.
James says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Note that Peter calls in our text faith precious. He calls it precious faith. I think I ought to tell you, if you want to develop precious faith, Peter says you got to be able to deal with purifying fire. Amen. Just remember, when you are in the fire, God is not trying to burn you up. He's trying to clean you up. Amen. You just missed what I just said. Amen. I think I ought to tell you, sometimes God has to send difficulties to us in order to develop us. Sometimes God has to afflict us in order to lift us. Sometimes God has to blast us in order to bless us. Sometimes God has to reduce us in order to use us. Sometimes God has to shake us up in order to wake us up. Sometimes God got to burn us in order to turn us. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? I ought to tell you, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Amen. Somebody ought to ask me to say that again. Yeah. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Amen. You just can't look at a person and tell what kind of shape they're in. You come up in here on Sunday, all y'all look like y'all going to heaven. We need to see you on Friday. Somebody ought to help me up in here. I tell those saints that on the boulevard, it ain't how loud you shout or how high you jump. Baby, it's how straight you walk. Am I right about it? In fact, I had decided one time I was gonna develop a shout committee. But I mean, so here's how it works. What we're gonna do is we're gonna write down the names of folk who shouted on Sunday. And then we're gonna follow them around on Friday. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Your faith will be tested. And only a faith that can stand the test can be trusted. The Bible declares that if we deal with our sufferings right, listen to me, we will always grow through what we go through. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. Listen, God is trying to do something with you. He wants us to grow through what we go through. My brothers and sisters, the old saints were right when they declared, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Well, there's a second issue in the text. I bid you good morning. Notice, Peter tells us if we're going to live between the now and the not yet, we have to live with a confidence in light of our hope. Peter says, whom, having not seen, verse 8, you love. The Greek word translated receiving in that text, receiving the end of your faith. It's the word kamazo. In the language of the New Testament Greek, it means to obtain. In Greek, it's a verb that is, can I take you to school for a moment? It's a verb that is what's called a present participle. That means Peter does not just have the future in mind when he's discussing our salvation. He's talking about a present reality as well. He's talking about something we've already attained and will keep on into the future. That word end is telos in Greek. And it's a word that means goal or aim or purpose. What Peter is saying is that we have already attained, we've already received, we've already gained, and we continue to possess the salvation of our souls. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm saying Peter says, listen, we ain't trying to be saved, we saved. My brothers and sisters, we have a salvation that's big enough for the now and the not yet. So often we think God is just a God of the sweet by and by. But God is a God of the nasty now and now. Amen. Am I right about it? In Greek, this word describes something that's a present reality and not just a future possibility. Our hope is that God has saved us, is saving us, and will save us when time at last falls exhausted at the feet of eternity. We've already received the goal, the purpose, the aim that is the salvation of our souls. Peter says it like this in verse 3, because he says, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to, listen to this, his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, he says, incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. Peter says the reason the Christian has joy in spite of the experiences of pain and problems is because of what God has in store for us. Peter informs us, and personal experience reminds us that we will have to deal with hurt. But we must ever remember that our trials and troubles are all temporary, but our inheritance is not. You miss what I just said. Our troubles, our trials are temporary, but what God has promised us is not. Listen to me. We should never get too worried and discouraged about the journey, because we know the journey leads home. That is our great hope. A great and abiding hope. Hope, I tell you, is how to live between the now and the not yet. And when I talk about hope, I don't mean hope so. I talked to some of your kin people in Memphis. Y'all going to heaven? I sure hope so. That ain't enough. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? That ain't enough. The old folks used to say, you got to know that you know. Am I right about it? No, this word hope comes from the Greek word elpis, and it means a confident expectation.
Yes, sir.
Hope is a great gift straight from the heart of God, and it gives us a source of strength when we face our struggles and courage when we face our crises. Hope points us to the light when we are trapped in a tunnel of darkness, misery, and despair. Hope gives us renewed energy.
Yes, sir.
When enthusiasm is stripped because of our exhaustion and life robs us of our strength, hope is an elevator that lifts our spirit out of the basement of discouragement.
Yes, sir.
Hope gives us the power of perseverance when crippling disease and lingering illness searches our bodies. Hope holds us up through our grief. When we stand across the fallen figure of somebody we love who has taken that solitary journey across the chill stream, I declare, when dreams fade, burdens blast, and life hurts, nothing get discouraged and drop out of school. Without hope, addicts get dejected and return to their using. Without hope, marriage partners get disgusted and head for the divorce court. Without hope, the emotionally weak and wounded get depressed and often attempt suicide. Without hope, our young men give up on living and then turn to a drug and gang culture that specializes in early graves. Without hope, our young ladies give themselves to knuckleheads, help me Lord, who have no job, no education, no sense, no God, and no future. I think I ought to tell you, with Jesus, there is hope. Sure and steadfast. With Jesus, prayers have answers. With Jesus, problems have solutions. With Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. With Jesus, demons are dismissed. The devil is defeated. With Jesus, hope is given a contract extension in the life of the child of God. With Jesus, our old contract with despair is nullified. With Jesus, joy is given a get out of jail free card. I wish I had somebody knew what I was talking about. With Jesus, discouragement is arrested and charged with trespassing on the sacred precincts of the heart of the child of God. With Jesus, hopelessness is locked up and given a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Sometimes we need to hear this word of hope in a world of sorrow. Out there on that hill of horror, even Jesus had to deal with suffering and with sorrow. In fact, his sorrow on that hill of horror was so severe that they ended up making up a word. They invented a word to describe it. It's the word excruciating. Excruciating means out of the cross. Before he went up that hill shaped like a skull to be crucified on a tree, before he was hung up on that cross, suspended between a wicked earth and a weeping heaven, he spent time, you remember, in that garden of grief. We know as Gethsemane. Doesn't it cause our souls to tremble when we read those words about Jesus? When he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, he says to his friends, and watch with me. Our Lord was under some serious pressure. The cross was on his mind before they laid it on his shoulders. Interestingly, that word Gethsemane means olive press. Yes, sir. Gethsemane was a small enclosed spot that was located at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It was a place where they squeeze olives into oil.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you don't see what I'm trying to tell you. Let me see if I can help you see it. Let me see if I can help you see it. All right. I think I can help you see it. This is olive oil. It's olive oil. You can get it at any store. It's olive oil. Now, if I would ask you how much it costs, you would say something like, it's not that expensive. It's, I I mean, you can get it for $4. And it's just olive oil. Now, you would say that it's inexpensive. And the reason why you would say it is because you ain't the olive. If you were the olive, you wouldn't say olive oil was inexpensive. Because for the olive, to get olive oil, the olive has to go through pressure. Oh, Jesus. The olive has to be squeezed out of shape in order to produce oil. Oh, you don't see what I'm trying to tell us this morning is, as children of God, yes, we have to go through pressure. But God is only trying to produce something in us. God often puts us under pressure. But all he's trying to do is turn olives into oil. You didn't hear what I'm saying. Listen to me. Under pressure, God is able to squeeze the oil of gladness out of the olive of grief. Under pressure, God is able to squeeze out of the olive of struggle the oil of strength. Under pressure, God is able to squeeze the oil of development out of the olive of discouragement. God is not just doing something to you. He's trying to do something in you. Under pressure, God is able to squeeze the oil of blessings out of the olive of burden. He's able to squeeze the oil of singing out of the olive of suffering. He's able to squeeze the oil of spiritual gain out of the olive of physical pain. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, yes. God is trying to do something with us. Yes, we got to go through something. Yes. We got to go through pain. Yes, we got to go through problem. But at least we got a God on our side. Amen. And then we just let him work his work. Yes, it's going to be all right after a while. After the pain comes the prize. And after the cross comes the crown. And after the whole hurt comes the hallelujah. God is not just doing something to us. He want to do something in us so he can do something through us. The only way you get oil is olives got to be squeezed.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning and you're going through your season of suffering. You're going through your trial. You're going through your difficulties. If you are a child of God, it could be God is trying to say something to you. Listen to me. All of our suffering isn't corrective. Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Just because you're going through something doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the will of God.
Right.
You remember Israel was at the Red Sea, trapped between the sword and the sea? But they were right where God had led them. Sometimes you're in trouble not because you're outside of the world. Listen to me. The only thing that has to be true about you for you to have trouble is for you to be here.
Right.
Either you're in trouble, on your way out of trouble, or on your way into trouble, because baby, that's all there is.
Right.
What I'm trying to tell you is all trouble isn't corrective. Most trouble is just instructive. Sometimes God is just trying to teach you something.
Amen.
Haven't you learned some things about God because of the stuff you had to go through? Am I talking to the right crowd?
Yes, sir.
Won't you learn some things about God through your trouble? Won't you learn that in your sixth trouble, he'll be with you? And in your seventh, he won't forsake you. You'll learn some things about God in your trouble. But you'll also learn some things about yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Because sometimes we think we're a whole lot stronger than we are until trouble comes. I once, years ago, got a lemon for Vacation Bible School. I cut it in half. And I put in that lemon a quarter and a penny and a nickel, a paper clip. And I asked the kids, when I squeeze this lemon, they didn't know what I had done. And I said, when I squeeze this lemon, what's going to come out? And they said juice. They said pulp. And then I squeezed it. And out came this nickel and this quarter and this paper clip. And they just cracked up. And my point was, you never know what'll come out till you put the squeeze on.
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't helping me. Y'all look like y'all going to heaven. You let life reach out in. And whatever's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Some of y'all who get mad and cuss. I tell you why you cuss. You still got cuss in you. Amen. Let me tell you something. And if you got cuss in you, there's two or three people around here know how to get it out you. I wish I had a praying crowd. You never know what'll come out of a person until the squeeze. But listen to me. When God squeezes you, he's not being punitive. He's being productive. He's trying to produce something in your life. What we have to do is cooperate with God. Let God do what he do. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Somewhere I read, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will, he will, he will direct your path. This morning, you ought to trust him. Trust him with what you're going through. Trust him with your burdens. Trust him with your hardships. Trust him with what your pain is. Trust the Lord. And he won't ever let you down. You hear this morning, you've never named the name of Christ. Let me tell you something, you ain't got no backup. And this world is too mean and miserable for you not to have some backup. Am I right about it? Let me tell you something, this is a crazy world. And you better have a God on your side. This morning, you ought to say yes to him.